Good morning, Tucson. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Creative City Show, where every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., I get to join you, Zach Yenser, the host of this show, to talk about the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, debate, and discuss the issues and themes that are crucial to getting us to that future. And my guest in the studio for this first hour, I believe, agrees with me that future is potentially brighter than or closer than we think. And the potential is bigger than we know, potentially.
No question.
The potential is greater than we know. That's a statement I live by on this show. It's what drives me personally as the host. And if you share in that, or if you are passionate about that, either from an optimistic point of view or a more realist point of view, or you know what, even a negative point of view, right? I want you to call in every day, every hour, and have that conversation. I like to say, I've been saying it recently, that radio is the only community medium that is instant real-time communication, right? I've been saying this. If you read something in the paper you disagree with, you write a note to the editor and hope he or she publishes it. You read a blog, you post a comment, hope they see it. The only thing that is more personal, more feedback-oriented, more real-time is an in-person conversation. It's the only thing that gets more personal than local radio, if you think about it. So this is an opportunity to have a real-time living conversation about the city that we care about. And again, if you are new to the city and you love what it is and what it stands for and you're excited about it, this show is for you. If you've been here for a while and a little burnout and a little frustrated, this show is also for you. As long as the conversation doesn't cross a line of just decorum and good conduct, any feedback is good feedback. Any opinion is good feedback, and we thrive on that. So that's just my call to action as we enter these 2 hours. Let's have a community conversation. I'll be having a live conversation with Ben Bueller Garcia here in this first hour, an economic community development consultant. He'll correct me if I got that combination of words wrong, but I know all the words in there are correct. That's our first hour. And then one of my favorite and our favorite hours on the show weekly, the What If Hour, is our 11 o'clock hour, where we talk about innovative or big ideas that could have a big impact in Tucson. And once again, I am amazed by what we talk about on the air together during the 11 o'clock hour. Not 48 or 72 hours later, I will be in a room where it's being talked about. So what we cover is a little big, a little crazy. Big and crazy on purpose, but it's not out of touch with reality. What we talk about often makes its way into community conversations outside of this studio, and that's why I keep doing it, because it's kind of cool to see that happen. Mr. Ben Bueller Garcia, thank you for being in the studio and for the conversation we're going to have through the 10 o'clock hour. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good morning, Zach. Thanks for having me. And you know, catalyst. Maybe you're a catalyst. And that, I love what you're saying, because that's why it's so important. Local talk is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I can go anywhere and hear about national issues.
Yep.
But, you know, right here on KVOI, we're getting the local stuff done.
Yep.
So
it's important.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful right back at you. Here's how we can kick our conversation off. First of all, did I get your title right?
Yeah, it's close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah. I don't like the word consultant, but I gave that to you. the name of my business is Ronan Business Services, because when I was in the corporate world, consultants are always too expensive and too pushy. So I decided to adopt Ronan as a business mercenary rather than a consultant. But
it doesn't matter. It does.
It's okay.
Because you're also a catalyst. That's what matters at the end of the day,
I don't know about that. Is a bomb thrower a catalyst? Kind of, I guess, yeah.
So disruptor is maybe the word.
Well, based on what you and Mr. DeSimone were talking about in the last hour, maybe that is appropriate. Every once in a while, you need a little disruption.
Yeah, that was a fun hour. I enjoyed that.
You guys
that.
Did well. And it really is a nice transition or a layered approach to what I'd mentioned I want to chat with about today, because you guys really touched on a lot of the points that I saw in this this interesting article.
The crazy thing about that, just as an aside, is I messaged Chris yesterday. I said, hey, what are we talking about, right? Mm-hmm. He said, give me one line homework, you know, come with five things that are encouraging you about Tucson's long-term economic development. He didn't know what you and I were talking about. I don't even sure that he knew that you were going to be on the show afterwards. It just meshed because what we wanted to talk about today is how cities are pointing the way to promoting opportunity and reducing poverty. So you're right. It just worked.
Well, I think that speaks to the fact that there are common themes, and we're not the only ones talking about this, but consistent with the philosophy of your show, a lot of it in Tucson, as you mentioned before, is the implementation side, the taking action side of it.
Right.
And if you get enough points of people and groups of people talking about one thing and you can bring them together, then maybe we can find something that's actionable.
Agreed. We were emailing back and forth and wanting to talk about the contents of this article. There's a line that maybe we can start off with, because this is the conversation that I want to have. The theme is American cities are laboratories of democracy. Their differences in policies and economic patterns shed considerable light on the challenge of promoting upward mobility and alleviating poverty. That stands out to me, because what Chris and I were talking about in the last hour is that often, if we're not intentional about it, a city's economic development strategy can grow top-line growth, but not do those things. It doesn't promote upward or alleviate poverty. And I think the phrase that you've used, as someone who believes in markets, who believes in growth, who believes in development, is how do we make that inclusive? How do we have inclusive economic development where everyone truly wins? When the city's economic picture wins, everybody wins. And in so many ways, really over the last 40 or so years in this country, kind of that middle class down has really struggled to see some of the overall benefit. So that's kind of where our conversation is going to go, and zoomed into Tucson, I believe.
Yeah, how do we grow the pie? And that's a theme you've heard a lot over the years. This article you're talking about, it actually came out. It was some research done by the George W. Bush Institute, and they call themselves an action-oriented, nonpartisan, policy-oriented organization.
Wow,
and
that's
there's some. Yeah, it is. Well, you know,
you practiced that one.
He was a president, so I guess you have to have long but it's interesting, and you know, so it's. Okay, George W. Bush, or some people say, oh, I'm not going to look at it because he was a conservative. But there's a lot of, like anything, I believe you. Do you cook at all?
I do my best.
Okay, so.
Twice a year. So my answer.
Let's see, what, Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, a lot of times you can find a recipe that's really delicious, but if you're a cook and you're in the kitchen and you're motivated to put your little personal wrinkle on it, you may take something out, you may add something. And so I always believe you look at all this stuff, you identify what's applicable, what works, what doesn't, you know, and make your own recipe. And what really struck me about this, what stood out was this group researched based on a number of criteria and ranked the top five cities in the nation for helping pull people out of poverty. They were Minneapolis, St. Paul, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Omaha. The bottom five in that group, Tucson, Fresno, Memphis, Birmingham, New Orleans. And what they looked at was they had four ranking criteria that they added up: median household income, the poverty rate, the percentage in the middle class, and upward mobility. And then they listed the things that why these cities stood out and what they're doing right. And what's really interesting to me when you look at that, when we later on, as we're going to examine what they're doing right, a lot of it touched on the issues that you brought up with Chris and you've been talking about over the course of your show. And so I'd like to just sort of share my thoughts, and we can discuss what works, what doesn't, how we augment or modify that recipe for Tucson.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So one thing that struck me maybe to kick us off is that, for example, the Making Action Possible dashboard out of the U of A looks at, is it 12 or 13, what they call MSAs, Metropolitan Statistical Areas.
Peer cities.
Our peer cities.
Correct.
And out of the five that you mentioned that stood out, three of them, I believe, are in that peer city group, Salt Lake City, Denver, and Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot our peers are doing here in this region, this more western, northwestern region that we can look at. And I think also two that are failing are not doing as well. Tucson and Fresno, I think, are also in that grouping. I'm trying to remember if Fresno is, but
yes, they are. And it's interesting. Part of what they talk about in the article, in the study, is just literally geographic location. And when you look at these cities that came out ahead, I found it struck me as someone who also operates in the political world. They said, you know, in many instances, they're not in the upper Northeast or the deep South, where they've been adversely affected with some of the political, social upheavals and challenges that have affected other big cities. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting, because that's sort of an out west thing. Well, on that factor, Tucson should be in pretty good shape as far as that goes. But, you know, Zach, you're a bright guy. You've done this quite a bit. You can find studies that say you're up, you're down, you're left, you're right. Sure. And it's just all over the place. And sometimes, for example, it's interesting to me, of the four factors, of the four areas where they said these top five cities really stood out and what made them different, one of them was the affordability of housing.
Right.
And if you go to the map dashboard and check it out, we actually are in much, much better shape than Denver, Salt Lake, and Portland as far as housing affordability, you know, relative to median household income.
Right.
So, again, you sort of take a little bit of here, a little bit there, and then you find an answer somewhere in between.
And you're touching on a topic that I am bullish about. Somebody asked me on the air a couple months ago, if you had to take one topic that you believe is the key to success of everything else in our city long term, what would it be? Big question, right? I say without skipping a beat, which is rare because I usually think first, but I was so sure of this: housing.
Yeah.
Housing affordability. And by affordability, I really mean accessibility, right? I'm not talking about HUD affordable housing.
Correct.
I'm talking about, can people in the lower class, middle class, and upper class find housing where they pay less than 30% of their budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the federal for low-income housing. But I'm taking that across the spectrum. Right now, there are people that look like me, that have a college education, that have a decent job, that can't afford to live in their cities. It's getting to be that way in Tucson, because nationally, we don't have just an affordability problem. We have an income problem as well, where incomes don't keep up with rising costs.
Bingo.
So,
and you're spot on there.
Yep.
And we really, in Tucson, we have a challenge on both sides of the equation. In fact, I was surprised to see this statistic, and this came out of the map dashboard that you had mentioned, because we're struggling with affordability in Tucson, at least for the city limits, because there's just not a lot of inventory of buildable land at the same time. So the costs go up, and we've really been struggling with medium household incomes and good employment
Absolutely.
In Tucson. So if that equation is being stressed on both sides, that's not a good thing. And I'm preaching to the choir here. But a lot of it, too, you know, you mentioned college degrees. That's one area where, based on this study, we fell down. Of that group of the five cities, number one was Denver. 42% of the population of Denver has a bachelor's degree or higher.
Mm.
Wow.
It's incredible.
I mean, the national average is just a little over 30%. Tucson comes in at 26. So we've got some room for improvement there. But, you know, and Zach, I've mentioned for a number of times when I'm out in the community or talking to you, is we have to play chess in 3D, in three dimensions. There's lots of factors that really get you to the whole truth and the whole strategery, if you will, if I can borrow that phrase from one of the other Bush presidents, the younger one, inside joke. But so clearly we need improvement on the education, the college degree. But as you have pounded the ground for so long, what the other thing that these communities do is they're doing a great job of then retaining those people and growing those people in our community, whereas Tucson has a real brain drain.
Right.
And then coming back, boy, we're going to need more than an hour, Zach. I love what you were talking about Pima College, because there's a certain elite mindset about college degrees, whereas What about the technical and the trades,
right,
and the potential for that, particularly in our community and given the assets and the potential mm-hmm. for development here in Tucson? So I love what Pima is doing. And
yep.
and to some extent, this is not a new concept. I mean, back when we were developing the cluster concepts, optics, aerospace, you know, Pima at that time also stepped right up and said, what do you need? You tell me what you
wow.
need. We'll design a curriculum around that. So,
wow.
amen.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad that was on my list then.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's see. Greg has been waiting patiently on the live line. Greg, you are on the line. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, a few things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I don't think we could be considered a peer to Denver, Salt Lake, or Portland at all. They're all capital cities, I believe. Isn't Portland the capital? Maybe not. But they're all huge cities with a whole lot more. Maybe Fresno, maybe Albuquerque. But I don't think those three. And you talk about housing affordability there. No.
Right.
If you're willing here to move somewhere besides the city center, and maybe you can buy an affordable house. Now, pay rates here are not good. We're a stepchild. Pima College is awesome, but those three towns are not our peers, I don't think. How do you guys figure they're our peers? And maybe Phoenix's peers.
You know, honestly, I don't know. This is, again, coming from the map dashboard, and I honestly don't know what thresholds they have to evaluate what those peer cities are, to be honest with you. And yet, clearly, Denver's a lot larger. Portland is...
Salt Lake, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, honestly, I don't know...
And they have major industries in all those places.
Yeah, and I'm just taking that off their dashboard, so I don't know how they establish what is a peer city.
I love what you guys are doing. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, this is great, Greg.
Make some waves. And you guys, it's a lot more fun hearing you guys talk about this stuff than some of the other things I hear.
Well, I think that was a compliment.
That was a compliment,
yeah.
And I will take that, Greg. Thank you. Please keep calling in. I know that I talk about this stuff a lot on the show, and so these exact same topics, Greg, come up a lot. I'm really happy, and I mean this, to be able to be having the conversation with someone I consider to be an expert in this space. It certainly makes my life a lot more fun this hour. But keep tuning in, Greg. This is the stuff that we hit. It feels like a good time before we get too wrapped up to head to a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about how do cities deliver broad-based prosperity? What are the things that we can learn from our cities in the region, and how do we apply that to Tucson? What would a Tucson look like delivering broad-based prosperity? By the end, Ben Bueller-Garcia, my guest, will give all the answers. We'll have a strategic plan, and in 5 years, we'll hit it. That's the plan today on the hour. As we head into our big what-if hour, that's a what-if, right? What
yeah.
if we could do this in 5 years? Hey, maybe that's where we'll go. Tucson, you are listening to 1030 The Voice. We're talking about Tucson's best possible future and how to strategically get there. Come on back after the break. Tucson, welcome back. You are on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk. My guests and I every day will do our best to bring high quality news and talk. You bring the trust and local listening, and that is a partnership that I think is worth doing. So thank you for your calls. Thank you for your listening. I am with Ben Bueller-Garcia here in the studio today. He's an economic and community development consultant. If we had to put him in a box, which is hard to do, that's the box we're going to put Ben in today, and he will break out of it as soon as he gets out of the studio. But we are talking about how does our city, we'll get to this in the end, deliver broad-based prosperity? How do we grow the pie, but in a way where everybody gets to be a part of that pie? And what we recognize right off the bat is that a lot of cities today do not have the intentionality or strategy on the front end to make sure that economic growth is shared and felt by everyone. And you feel that in so many areas. And so Tucson's kind of at the front end of our story, of this iteration of our story, where I think we're at a point in time where we can make those strategic decisions here on the front end as we are starting to have more economic development to make sure that the pie is expanded and shared by everyone.
There are four things cited in this article, Zach, that these other cities are,
yep.
are doing well. And I have never been a fan of just taking what somebody else is doing and trying yeah. and fitting it in Tucson,
yeah.
because Tucson really is a special place.
Oh, it is.
It's a different place. Yep. And that there's advantages to that.
Yep.
And there's challenges to that. So, you know, number one they mentioned was raising a highly educated population.
Yep.
The difference, and don't get me wrong, I mean, the more, if we can raise that 26% with a bachelor's degree and higher, good for us. But on the back end, we have the challenge that we're educating the workforce for other communities.
Right.
And how we address keeping those yep. people here. But number two, I believe for Tucson in particular, the real or a great potential, unrealized potential, is in the trades. I've kind of talked to you before about the idea of Tucson as the Silicon Valley for mining, training, and technology, and the support trades that help that. We talk about housing. One of the real challenges in housing in Tucson, as far as the costs that go in the front of the housing, we talked about availability of land to build on, but also we lost a lot of, during the crash, we lost a lot of those skilled trades. They went to other communities and they never came back. Your average carpenter, $49,000 a year. That's not a bad salary.
No, it's not.
Your average electrician, $57,900, almost $58,000 a year. A job you could never pay me to do or pay me enough to do. Plumbers are making $52,000, almost $53,000 a year. And those are good jobs in industries that, you know, plumbers, we're always going to need plumbers. It's just the nature of the human condition. So the idea of focusing, when you talk about Pima College and that, the ability to adapt quickly to what industry needs, because that's something else that's different. We're teasing about my, you know, back in the old days when I was studying at the U of A and my first semester tuition was $225.
I literally just about cried.
Yeah.
I almost actually cried.
You know, I knew Button Salmon personally.
I really did.
So I'm that old.
$200 a semester.
That's a U of A reference. You probably, who's Button Salmon? Do you know Button?
I do not.
Oh, Zach.
I know.
Bear Down.
I know Bear Down.
That was Button Salmon that said Bear Down.
Okay. I learned something.
No
new
help.
Today.
No help from
me.
That completely
Bob can delete that out of the podcast because I just had my Tucson card ripped away from me. I'll have to earn it back.
It's all about learning. It's all about learning. Number two on their list of what these communities are doing right, and this is something where you really, I think, need to adapt to Tucson. They talk about a growth friendly economic policies and the approaches to how they handle housing construction. This, you touched on that. You know, affordable housing is one of the essential drivers to a broad-based prosperity in the community. Greg, appreciate the fact, you know, Portland, very unique how they handle their growth boundaries as compared right. to Tucson. But the idea of what do we need to do on the policy level to be able to continue to make it affordable to live in Tucson? And the right. idea, sort of the balkanization now,
right.
where I'm concerned about this donut hole that's growing in the city center as people move out to
right.
Marana, Oro Valley, down to Sahuarita. Sahuarita is doing some amazing things down there. And how do we keep those folks here? And that there's a lot of factors involved in that. That, you know, involves employment. When you talk about quality of life, very often one of the factors you see in there is the commute time from their home to their job. Well,
right.
you know, Tucson's 300 square miles. That's just a practical logistical issue for us. So what economic policies do we need to do? What needs to be done on the political side of the equation to make sure we can continue to be keep things affordable? And hopefully, you're going to get Barbara Coffey on soon.
Yeah.
She's our new economic initiatives director, I believe, is yeah. her current title. Really sharp woman, bringing some interesting perspectives to Tucson. In fact, she and I are going to go down and look at an area of Tucson that we both think shows a lot of promise and take a look at some things, one of which is, you know, we got 100 acres down there, perfect for some housing, which is hard to find in the Tucson city limits.
It is. And I want to jump on a couple themes there. My mind is firing away on some of these themes. I want to ask you a growth-related question, but and I'm going to phrase it this way because it is a reality of who we are as a city. So this is a journalistic comment. Don't take it as any more than that. Progressive cities really struggle with affordability in a very ironic way when you look at Portland and other cities. And most cities tend to be
rent control in
urban,
New York.
Highly educated. There tends to be a progressive spin at the top level. I'm not sure that it reflects kind of the ground level of who's living there, if you know what I mean. But it's fascinating to see how progressive cities often struggle with with affordable housing, I think for two reasons. One is just the predominance of NIMBYism. The private home ownership mentality has priced out a generation from being able to own a home. That's numbers, that's facts. The other are things like urban growth boundaries, right? This realization that housing affordability has requires at some level a matching supply to meet demand. Now, I'm the guy who is passionate about working on gentrification and displacement issues, right? I am not a growth for growth's sake guy. I think anyone who listens to me knows that I really seek a balance. But part of making sure housing is affordable is making sure that there is supply to meet demand. And progressive cities do a lot of things to inhibit the growth of the supply. And that's where a huge lack of affordability comes from. Now, again, Tucson is probably the most progressive city in Arizona. Maybe not. It's more progressive. It is a blue part of the map for sure. So that's why I only bring it up is that I think one of our challenges as a city is that I think our mentality can often go to restricting versus how do we say yes in a healthy way. Which was my question to you. One of them is when we talk about growth oriented, how do we grow in the right way? Because Tucson's been torn apart by this pro growth, no growth battle. How do we move past that in a healthy way?
Well, one, just when I talk about, when I hear, well, when people hear progressive, they maybe get a couple of different mental pictures. One is the, in the political context of progressive. And that's something where, you know, using some of the Northwest cities as an example, where it's almost like I'm going to love you to death. But by helping one side of the equation, by creating growth boundaries, we're actually making it less affordable for a lot of our population to be here and to continue to contribute to the community. I think of progressive in the context of Tucson in terms of the first part of the word, progress. How do we progress? How do we create progress in a way that's healthy and impactful to everyone? So I want to make that distinction. Mm. So coming back to your point, there are some very practical limitations, just to get down to basics. How, you know, we are surrounded by national forests and national parks. There's literally only so much area where we can grow if we want, if that's the route we choose to grow. I, like you, I'm a big fan, or I say it makes me shake my head. I was talking to an actor, a famous actor who was here visiting from New York, and we're talking about the Fox and downtown, and it's always interesting to get an outside pair of eyes on this. And one of the things that really struck me was in Tucson, we have had a propensity to tear down too much stuff, whether that's, you know, historic buildings or just housing stock, and that's really frustrating to me. Mm-hmm. So the extent to where we have adaptive reviews of existing neighborhoods, then we can do that, great. I would like to see us build up and down more than we are now, so we can concentrate populations close to workspace. Mm-hmm. But there's challenges on the back end of that as well. The challenges to the infrastructure and views. We're surrounded by beautiful mountains. People want to be able to see. And I chuckled when you mentioned NIMBY, because one of the advantages of being an old guy like me, who actually knew Button Salmon, who was
the guy who said bear down.
There you go. Thank you very much. You're a quick learner.
I get my Tucson card back.
Yeah. You know, this is nothing new, and it always kind of makes me shake your head. And, you know, the person who buys a home, let's pick on the Foothills crowd, you know, they buy their home up in the Foothills. Yay, good for me. And it was okay when they bought the home behind the person down in front of them. But then when somebody wants to build behind them, oh, all of a sudden it's not copacetic anymore. And so getting over that sort of that NIMBYism, I've got mine, too bad for you, has always been a challenge in our community. And that doesn't just apply, I pick on the Foothills, but that's an issue in the center city as well.
Oh,
when it
100%.
Comes to policy, no question.
100%.
I don't think that answered your question, but...
And these are things that I've read and ideas that I'm processing. It's interesting to see, and I'm just making a picture. I'm really not making fun of anyone. I'm a journalist in this moment. It's interesting to see kind of the Prius driving person save the environment who won't allow housing to be built that's affordable enough for the young family to move in, forcing them to move to Marana and having to commute into the city center.
Fair enough.
Driving their diesel truck, you know. There's this new level of urbanism that I think cities are having to think through of what is a what does a good urban space look like, a good metropolitan environment that is effective and healthy for everyone?
Yeah, you know, my equivalent, Zach, and this might light some fuses on some of your listeners, is my favorite is when I see a Prius with a, you know, no to mining bumper sticker on it. And I have to think, where do you think the materials to run your car come from? It's got to be mined somewhere. But either way, so let me ask you a question. When you talk about growth, what do you mean? Do you mean literally, do you mean population? Do you mean businesses? Do you mean infrastructure? Or do you mean all of the above? Employment?
Yeah. When I talk about growth, it's a good question. I don't know if I've thought about it that specifically. I certainly think I'm a big economic gardening guy in the sense of how do we help people and ideas who are currently here grow and scale their business idea. I'm a huge small and mid-sized enterprise guy. I think if we get that right, then we will have all of the big companies knocking on our door to come in, and then we get to make the decision which one we want to partner with in the city. That's my personal belief and personal opinion. So that's that. I think as our city does well, our population is going to grow, so that takes care of itself. And Tucson has always underestimated itself. There were people who swore that Tucson would never get bigger than 30,000 people. So Tucson continually says people aren't going to come here, and they always come here, and then we're catching up to ourselves. So I think we have to plan for growth, regardless of whether we're pro or anti. We've got to plan for
it. Oh, no question.
Because Tucson's going to grow. It always has, and it likely always will. So I think economically, the population will take care of itself. And I think infrastructure-wise, we need to grow as well. I chuckled at Gil Peñalosa when he came in. He came in with Living Streets Alliance, I think, last year and a half ago. And he's this equitable urban development guy, super progressive, you know, our community to be for 8 to 80. I mean, that's kind of where he comes from. He went down Fourth Avenue and he was just like, what is this? All this one and two story building, what is this? Like, this needs to be four and six stories tall, because he's looking at cities, you know, across the country. When I talk about stock, I think more densification and infill and going up to create equity, not necessarily out. And again, this is from a lens of housing affordability, displacement, gentrification. I'm not excluding those things at all. I come from that place, but I think up is where Tucson needs to go, and not Chicago skyline up, just up past a story or two.
Well, and I tell you, that really transitions, if we've got time, I don't know when it's your show, when you need to take a break, to really the number three item in this study was talking about above average investment in quality of life. All five of these cities that are highly ranked had an above average investment of quality of life. Now, that's a broad category. What do you mean by quality of life? And it made me smile when you're talking about Fourth Avenue, because the mayor and council just considered some modifications to the infill incentive district that would allow some additional height.
Great.
Construction down on the 4th Avenue in some of our historic areas, but within reasonable boundaries.
Absolutely.
And basically, you can't build higher than the highest existing contributing structure in that historic district, and
great,
that varies depending on the district. So, yeah, I mean, it's... Look, I'm one of those guys that goes to other cities and tells them what I think they need to do. So at the same time, I'm very sensitive to folks from out of town coming and saying that
absolutely,
we need to change 4th Avenue into...
That's
a canyon of glass and steel.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
No.
That's a very special element in our community. We can afford to put housing somewhere else.
That's a good answer.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm glad I brought up Mr. Peñalosa.
Yeah.
That was a great... But you teed up our last segment, I think. Let's go to a break before we dig in. What does quality of life mean? And also, we'll talk about public-private cooperation as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of known in the industry as P3s, public-private partnerships. Those need to be done well and done right in our city. What does that look like? All towards, by the end of the hour, how does Tucson deliver broad-based prosperity? How do we not play the puck where it's at, but where it's going? And then execute on that. That's my conversation with Ben Bueller Garcia, a local passionate Tucsonan who's also an economic and community development consultant here and in other cities. So we're having a healthy conversation here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Come on back for the rest of my conversation with Ben after the break. Tucson, welcome back to the show. This is your host, Zach Yenser, welcoming you back. Thank you for joining us and engaging in my conversation today with our guest this hour, Ben Bueller Garcia, a longtime Tucson advocate, a passionate Tucsonan, and someone who is versed in economic and community development. And I emphasize community because his perspective is, how do we not only expand our city's pie, but how do we make sure that everyone gets to eat have that pie? And there are a lot of cities who are checking a lot of economic growth and community growth boxes while leaving a ton of people, behind. And whether you're watching the national conversation or you're talking to the businessman next door, that undercurrent is under both of those conversations of how do our cities deliver broad-based prosperity in our communities. And so Ben and I have been talking about five cities that were noted in some recent research as standing out for their success in doing so, and the four strategies that they have been taking to get there. And that's where we're at in our conversation. And where we want to make sure we touch on before we close is one of the four strategies, and I'm quoting, is relentless focus on quality of life. It's a big phrase, a big idea. What does that mean to you, Ben Bueller Garcia?
Well, and this is a perfect example of where context makes such a difference. So if you look at the study, when they talk about, you know, Denver with their views and Salt Lake City and Portland and their natural geographic advantages of where they happen to be in the context of quality of life, that's all very important. And we've got that going for us here in Tucson as well. I mean, we're on one of the most beautiful places 100%. On the planet, no question about that. But in the context of what Tucson needs to do when it comes to quality of life, you know, I talk about playing chess in three dimensions. So number one, raising highly educated populations. Number two, growth-friendly economic policies. When you talk about quality of life, let's go back to number one there. We've got brain drain. We've got these educated young people coming out of our universities that are leaving us, that are going somewhere else. Part of that might be lack of opportunity. Are we creating enough jobs to keep them here? Honestly, my theory is when it comes to quality of life, it's the thing that's so rarely on the radar. You've touched on a little bit. It's potholes. It's streets. It's cops. When you look at, yep. You know, Tucson has consistently been ranked in the top 10 for property crime. I live just north of campus, and it's a huge issue in our neighborhood. So I can't help but wonder that there's a young person there somewhere. So in most cases, a lot of folks at the U of A, you know, they might be in the dorms their first year, but then they're moving off campus pretty quickly. And the extent to which crime, it becomes a frustrating issue for them over their career. And that's just one of those big factors saying, I'm out of here. I'm not going to stick around. I'm going to look for job prospects somewhere else. So when you talk of quality of life in the context of Tucson, I believe we truly need to focus on some of the issues that are not considered by traditional economic and community developers. It's not the sunshine. Well, it is the sunshine. It is the mountains. It is the fact that you or I, generally, we can be out in the beautiful Sonoran Desert from almost anywhere within 30 minutes. We have pine trees. We've got snow. We got it all. It's right amazing. Here in Tucson. We can be on the beaches of Mexico in a couple hours.
Yep.
But when it comes to quality of life issues,
right.
It really, I believe the focus needs to be on that infrastructure and our public services, no question. Because it wears on you. It's a drip, drip, drip. Is my stuff still going to be here when I get home?
Right.
That's no way to live. That's not a quality life.
Right. Well, this goes beyond just good conversation. The data backs this up, right? So a couple of organizations in town in the last half year or so did some surveying where they surveyed both out-of-town guests and longer-term residents. And they said, what do you love about Tucson, right? And most of what they listed, as a friend puts it, are things that we don't control, right? The sunshine's awesome. The mountains are great. The hiking is awesome. The culture is fantastic. Food, even though we have a lot to do with controlling food, is great. Right? Unanimous. Visitors and long-term residents. What things drive you crazy about this town? I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
Both groups. Safety. Roads. Infrastructure. I mean, this is not just like you and I banging a drum because it sounds good.
Right.
This is people, again, coming from Sonora, Mexico, coming from Denver, Colorado, people like you and I who live here full time. Everyone's saying this stuff drives us crazy. What's driving me a little crazy is especially just within the context of like even like city council and mayor elections, I don't hear enough. in my opinion, about these elements. I feel like massive concerns of our citizens are not being talked about at a regular day in and day out level in terms of the top level leadership.
Yeah, you know, when I ran for city council in 2009, that was one of the top priorities I had, talking about law enforcement and public safety. And, you know, folks are like, go away, be quiet. But it's true. It's a real challenge. And don't quote me on this number, Zach, but in looking at the city budgets back then, there was one year we spent in the city of Tucson out of the general fund, $35,000 on road repair. Excuse me?
I talked about this yesterday on the show.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Bingo. And that's what made me think of it in coming and preparing to come in here today. You know, $1.4 billion budget, $35,000. Now, again, this is a ways ago, but it's just like making sure you change oil in your car. You can only put that out so long before your engine burns out, and that's the challenge we're facing. So, when it comes to quality of life in Tucson, I believe we need to focus on some non-traditional areas first.
Agreed.
Because the mountains, hopefully, unless you know something I don't, are not going away anytime soon.
I hope so, too. I hope we both walk out of this studio and the mountains
still there.
The mountains are still there. I want to take this moment and genuinely appreciate, I think, what the city manager, Mr. Ortega, is doing. Mm-hmm. I think he's really doing a fantastic job on addressing some of these issues. And in many different areas where we were at as a city 10, 20, 30 years ago, I think he's addressing those one by one by one. I have a genuine appreciation for what he's doing.
I like Michael a lot, and he's creating, in my personal opinion, I know some folks will disagree, but he's changing what is the most fundamental need, or he has been changing what has been the most fundamental need in our foundational need in our community, which is a change of culture at City Hall and amongst the city employees. And we're really getting to how can we make it happen rather than thinking of a million reasons why we can't do that. And that really leads us into the number four item on this study that talks about what these other communities were doing right. And that's exceptional coordination between public and private sectors across political jurisdictions. And I want to emphasize that across political jurisdictions, because that's been a stumbling point, I think, for some of us, for the Metro Tucson here for a number of years. It's getting a little bit better, but we still have some work to do.
Interesting. And I want to make sure that we cover that a little bit before we've got about 10 minutes or so. I think we have time. I also want to appreciate our callers calling in. We've got Ingrid on our live line. Thanks for calling, Ingrid. Infrastructure, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'll try to make this fast because I know you're in a hurry. I personally don't like people telling a community how it should grow and what it should do and this and that. But if some of that's going to go on, how do you feel about voters, the people who actually vote, going to the booths and saying, yes, we would like to have thus and such infrastructure, or no, we don't want to have that, so that there's a little more input, a majority of it being the input of the public that's going to be affected. I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for taking the call. Bye.
No, thank you, Ingrid, for listening and for calling. I appreciate you. What are your thoughts, Ben?
Well, thank you, Ingrid, for your call, and thank you for your engagement in the community, because that's so important. And number one, if you're eligible to vote, please do. you got to do that. I guess I'm a little bit of two minds when it comes to Zach, and really your program, I think it was yesterday where you touched on this. Ideally, I believe that when it comes to infrastructure, the greater extent to it, the city charter calls for, it only has three basic things that are called for in the city charter that the mayor and council are responsible for: public safety, infrastructure, and parks. Let's go back to focusing on that. Now, I understand that we're in a position to play catch up, and so additional dedicated sales taxes and bonds, okay, sometimes you have to do that, but that should always be a short-term fix. That should just be a band-aid. Long-term, budgets need to be planned and allocated out of the general fund so that we can do that. I think that's the better way to maintain it, because pretty soon you talk about balkanization of communities. Next thing you know, you have policy balkanization where you've got all this money that nobody can touch, that the people we hire and pay to make these decisions to manage our communities don't have the full tool chest available to them to do that. Mm-hmm. So not a fan of it, but if sometimes it does need to be mm-hmm. done. And we have to hire good people, just like in private business. You hire good people, you trust them, you empower right. them to do their job. If they're not doing it, you get rid of them. You find somebody else who can.
Right. Just to maybe Ingrid's point really quick in 10 to 20 seconds, I think of like the RTA. For example, I think of a lot of big infrastructure projects that are public input heavy. I mean, to the score of 2-3 years of public input sessions. I think our communities just do a better job of communicating the different avenues that regular citizens can get involved, because they do exist. They really, really do. It's just often how to find them and get involved in them is hard to find.
And we also have to be careful in Tucson of falling into that trap where, you know what, let's be honest, the reality in life is not everybody is an expert at everything. And sometimes you'll go to public meetings where, again, coming back to the infrastructure and the Complete Streets, the Living Streets Alliance, that discussion. A lot of us have input because it impacts all of us. But you know what? I'm not a traffic engineer. Let's leave it up to those folks. Say, okay, here's where we want to go. You all, the experts, figure out how to get us there. And I don't expect me to go down and be able to say, okay, this is what we need to do to Grant Road to make traffic flow properly. Let's let the experts make those decisions.
Hmm. It's interesting how to balance that tension. It's one of the reasons why I banged the drum of needing to expand the planning side of our city, PDSD, planning and development. Mm-hmm. We need more people on the community-facing planning side to have that conversation and to say, look, we took a year of your opinion, and here's how we've managed that to get to what is actually the best possible result. Here's why it looks a little bit different. Just wanted you to know.
Right.
We don't have the staff to have that conversation. Can you imagine if we did? Okay, I'll get off of that soapbox.
No, you're right.
Ben is nodding, so.
No, that was one of my favorite experiences as a consultant, and I use the quotation fingers, was yep. working in the city of Wichita on a project where the very first community meeting, and I've shared this with your listeners before, I'll do it again, members of the mayor, members of the council, the top city staff came in and told people, we're going to study this for 6 months. Here's your opportunities for input. Mm-hmm. But when it's done, we're done. We're going to work. The project is being implemented. Whatever right. that looks like, we're right. going to work.
Right.
And that's another area where Tucson, sometimes we stumble a little bit. We study the heck yep. out of stuff.
Right.
But we need to start putting stuff in the ground.
Right.
Something I want to mention. In the ground.
Yes.
Growing down. The I don't know what they call that there that they built on the mall at the U of A, the Integrated Learning Center, I guess, where they built it down underground.
Yeah.
We should be doing more of that in the desert. My house is a 100-year-old house. It's got a basement. Love it. I don't know why we don't build down more often in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense on a lot of levels.
Pun intended? No pun intended?
Nice. Well played. I didn't catch that. Yeah.
Well, you and I knew this was going to happen. We are butting up against the very end of our hour, maybe in a minute and a half or two. You're looking at this research. What do you apply to Tucson? What would be your proposals?
Well, I think definitely the quality of life, again, comes back to me, is number one, and then the education. We talked about university and college level, but our K-12 system, one district in particular, has a lot of challenges, and that's where the foundational fix needs to take place. So again, I encourage people to go out and vote. Make sure you choose good leaders to run some of these districts. And then just, you know, lastly, one of the frustrations about this study, Zach, was I could not find the real data. So it's kind of hard to take, you know, compare apples to apples here. So I'll keep looking.
Great.
Maybe I'll be able to come back and provide more answers for you some at a future date.
Wonderful. Well, we'll keep doing this. I appreciate your time and just your research on this and bringing it to us here on the show.
Do you want me to prepare a regular U of A trivia question for you, Zach?
That would be excellent. That would be because apparently my
saying.
U of A trivia
yeah.
needs a little love, needs a little help.
Okay.
but now I know who said bear down.
Button salmon. And actually yeah. that story, the cool part of that, if we have time, is that's, you know, the famous win-win for the Gipper.
Yeah.
The whole button salmon quote happened 2 or 3 years prior to the Gipper story. So we... Again, Tucson Innovative,
hey.
We beat him to the punch on that one. And I'll tell you what, I'll come back. I can sing the third and fourth stanza
Ooh.
Of All Hail Arizona, if you'd like.
I'll hold you to that.
It was a fraternity thing. Don't bring up that painful memory.
Sounds good. We're kind of being lighthearted, but in the things that Tucson is innovative on, we need to tell those stories. It's one of my goals on the show, is we preceded, for the Gipper. right? We receded that. We don't talk about it. You know,
we had the first municipal airport in the United States.
Boom. We don't. Yeah. We need to tell those stories and point in that direction more than we do.
And this comes back to the way, wrapping it up in a nice tight bow, the way you started this story. What excites me, even though I'm a crusty old cranky guy, is the potential in our community and how we realize that potential. And I'm actually feeling pretty good about where we're looking to the future for everybody in Tucson.
Me too. Just got to execute.
Bingo.
Part of that is these conversations. Part of that, if you're listening, is you calling in and engaging. We got to do this together. Radio provides that platform. And so as we close hour one of the show today, I want to thank you for listening, for calling in. Ben, thank you. These inspire me. These conversations do. We'll do it again soon. And if you're listening, don't go away. We'll be back for hour two, our What If hour. And we talk about paying talented people. I'm going to talk about our mayor and council pay and thoughts on that. Yeah, I'm going to dig in and see where it goes. Tucson, don't go away. That's how we kick off the What If Hour on the Creative City Show, 10:30, The Voice. See you in a minute.